Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, and we're going to start in verse 1. Matthew 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So going along the way that Matthew presents the life of Jesus, he has called his disciples, and now in chapter 5 we get into what we term the Sermon on the Mount, probably some of the most famous teachings of Jesus. And unfortunately, sometimes they are teachings of Jesus that are misunderstood and misapplied. These are teachings that you're going to have to spend a little time to understand. It's going to have to take a little bit of spiritual discernment to gather together the thoughts that Jesus is presenting. If you take them at a very surface value without any real spiritual knowledge, then you get into some of those traps. I remember years ago, I was teaching a young children's class, and we were reading through the Beatitudes. And one of the girls in the class had brought her Bible from home. It was a children's Bible. It didn't state what version or anything it was. But when it came to blessed are they who mourn, it just said, blessed are those who cry. Well, that's a misunderstanding. It's not about crying. It's about feeling that sense of mourning over your sins and mourning over a spiritual condition. But if you just leave it, blessed are those who cry, then, you know, I could cry over all sorts of things. I could cry because I stubbed my toe. I mean, you know, if we leave it at that very surface value, then we don't dig enough to understand the truths that Jesus is presenting. And that was part of the problem with his teachings as well during that time as much as it is today. Because those that didn't think about it and dig a little bit deeper, maybe didn't really ask questions, you know, they would just run with that first thought, have an incorrect thought, and that's where some of the Pharisees used their platform to accuse Jesus of certain things, is because they didn't do any of that digging in order to get to the spiritual meaning. They just left with that surface thought. But Jesus is talking about blessings, and these are conditional blessings. They are blessings that come along with a particular attitude or condition. So going back a little bit, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. Well, if you're poor in spirit, realizing your spiritual needs, then you'll seek something else out and you could find the kingdom. Well, those are connected thoughts. That's the reasoning that Jesus wants us to use. But again, we've got to do a little bit of digging, a little bit of thinking. God gave us logic for a reason. He gave us the ability to think about things. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, these are conditional. The blessing is the comfort. The blessing is finding the kingdom. But if you're not poor in spirit and if you don't mourn, then those blessings don't come. So that's why I call them conditional blessings. So going back to the thought of just, you know, a surface reading of this or a surface thought process without doing any digging and without doing any thinking, then you look at that and you think these are pitiable people, people that are poor in spirit, those that are mourning, the meek, those that hunger and thirst, those that are merciful, well, not necessarily merciful or pure in heart, but those first few are in that condition in which someone might have pity on them. You know, they're mourning. You know, if we go to support a family that has lost a loved one, we know the grieving process that they're in the middle of, and we show compassion toward them. But Jesus is saying, the world will look at you and say, you don't have anything, but actually you're going to be blessed because of this. And that's an important concept to understand. There's a difference between the way the world views things and the way God views things. So those worldly values get thrown out in favor of these spiritual values and spiritual concepts. And while we might think of being in a position where we're poor in spirit or mourning or these types of things, hunger and thirst, we think of those as states that we don't want to be in, but Jesus says, actually, you do want to be in those states. It is in those states in which we seek something more out. We seek something greater out. And it's when we embrace that humility and the condition that we're in, and realize the condition we're in, that we take advantage of what God offers and become blessed. And some of these are intense feelings. The idea of being poor in spirit and mourning and hungering and thirsting, or even being persecuted, those are intense situation and intense feelings. But it is those intense feelings that push us forward to seek out something better, something greater, something different than what we have now. There's also a little bit of interconnectedness between all of these, because when you're poor in spirit, then you mourn over that condition. And when you're poor in spirit and you're mourning over that condition, then you're meek and humble because of the realization of where you're at. And if you're in that position where you realize where you're at and you desire for something else, you begin to hunger and thirst for something that will satisfy, that is righteousness. And because you're in those conditions, you tend to be more merciful toward other people. But this also drives us toward that pure in heart, and then being peacemakers, and then accepting persecution. All of these things, in one way or another, are interconnected and work together in an overall spiritual condition. He's describing one who becomes zealous for being a child of God, who knows what they can receive from God, and knows that it's something they want from God, and will pay the price to receive it. You know, lately I've had a lot of doctor's appointments. I just had surgery on my foot, and so we had a pre-op appointment, and then we had an appointment where they checked me out to make sure I was okay to go under anesthesia, and then had go in for COVID testing before they would do the procedure, and then we had the procedure, and then you had a follow-up a week after, and then another follow-up where they took the stitches out, and well, you get tired of going to the doctor, but every time I go to the doctor, they ask a series of questions, you know, and all those questions, or some of them are based on COVID, you know, have you had a fever, cough, you know, all these different things, and then the others are, you know, general questions. Is there any updates to your medicines? Is there any updates to your condition? Has anything new happened? You know, all those different things, all these questions. And you get so used to those questions that you just start blurting out, no. You know, you know the questions are coming, and you just start saying no. And you might even say no when the answer is yes, because you're just so used to it. I don't think we ought to become so used to the Beatitudes that we look at that checklist and say, you know, am I poor in spirit? Am I mourning? Am I, you know, hungry and thirst for righteousness? Am I a peacemaker? Am I meek? Am I all these different things? And we just kind of go, yeah. And we're checking off the list, but is it reality? Are we really fulfilling those spiritual conditions that Jesus is describing in which we can be blessed? I think that's something for us to think about today. And am I fitting what the Beatitudes are describing? Or do I really maybe need to spend some time in thought and prayer and study about my place before God so that I can truly be blessed? Thank you for listening today. I hope this benefits you, and I would ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.